What you have on this page is a reworking of a chapter from my own book on psalmody and prayer in the writings of Evagrius, and this is the section dealing with the healing of anger, the point which we've already seen hinted at in our study of the Antiretikos on the question of the transformation of gloominess, and we'll come again to the same passage from the Antiretikos that we looked at last time, because it is of relevance here as well. And it's centered in, focused on Evagrius' conviction that many of the bad expressions of the energy of the Thumicon, whether it's wrath or gloominess or dejection, however one chooses to express or however one is experiencing the temptations that arise as a result of a temptation to misuse this capacity of the self, one of the most important cures is turning to the presence of God, always to turn to God, but especially to turn to God in the scriptures, and in a specific way to turn to God in psalmody. And we'll see particular examples where he emphasizes the power of psalmody to calm the angry or irascible soul. The advantage of using this chapter rather than simply listing the text is that you can go back to it and have a commentary on each of the 8 texts that I've chosen from Evagrius' writings, and I'd like to simply review them or highlight them rather briefly now, and then you can go back and review them at your leisure, looking in more detail if you wish at the text which comments on them. Let's drop down to the first text from Evagrius, where you have parallel Greek and English, and that's from chapter 11 of the Practikos, the passage beginning, "Anger is the sharpest passion." Here I've translated anger, and I'm afraid I'm not absolutely consistent in my translation of orge and thumos here, but I've tried to note when the two terms are used. Orge, anger or wrath, is the sharpest passion. It is, and here Evagrius is borrowing from the ancient Platonic tradition, it is a boiling up and a movement of thumos against a wrongdoer. So orge, he is saying, anger is a boiling up and movement of a more fundamental, a more generic, a not yet specifically defined energy, which he calls thumos. It boils up against a wrongdoer or presumed wrongdoer, and it can still be good. Anger can still be used, even orge can be properly directed against, he would say, against the demonic, against the temptation and the source of temptation, not against a human being, but against the demonic. But it can also degenerate into a lingering form, which he describes as menis, or rancor. So this is a kind of a, if you will, clinical definition of what anger is. Then if we drop down to the next text of that includes both Greek and English, this is taken from Gnostikos chapter 31. This is a Evagrius text for people who have made significant progress in the spiritual life and are learning the art of interpreting the scriptures and their own lives as places of God's presence. That is to say, people who have developed into and are learning the art of contemplation. And he expresses here the very important point that the control of or the mastery of thumos is very important for anybody who wishes to be a contemplative. Exhort, he says, the elders to mastery of thumos, and I've used the generic term anger here, and the young to mastery of the stomach. For against the former strive the demons of the soul, and against the latter, for the most part, those of the body. This is an expression of Evagrius' conviction that the war against the misuse of the thumicon, the misuse of the energy of this capacity of the self to reach out potentially effectively, but in its degenerated form, destructively against an enemy or, unfortunately, against the self, this is a struggle that lasts until the end of one's life. There is never a complete mastery over the thumicon. One will struggle against this until one's last breath. So in many ways, Evagrius is convinced that for people who are past middle age, who are living lives of advanced search for God in community or even in the hermit life, they must be always reminded that their primary struggle will not be against the misuse of desire, but against the misuse of anger. This will be the thing that one finds in later in life to be one's particular challenge. One has to use this energy in an effective and positive way and never make the mistake of thinking that this struggle is over. It will continue. Dropping down to Gnosticos, chapter 5, he says, all the virtues clear the road before the Gnosticos, but above all else, freedom from anger. Aorgasia is the term for this virtue. One has to work towards freedom from anger, but the work is lifelong, he says. He then, and we're dropping now back to the Practikos, he reminds us in chapter 71 that psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, that is to say, psalmody and hymnody, and the use of the liturgical gifts that we've been given in the church are particularly valuable because, he says, they cool our boiling indignation, our thumos, and they quench desire. They help us by reminding us of virtue. So one of the ways in which this lifelong struggle with our tendency towards anger is dealt with is by richly dipping into the liturgical treasure house that the church gives us, the Liturgy of the Hours and psalmody in particular. He mentions this again, or emphasizes it again, in chapter 15 of the Practikos, which is the next section we have both texts from, in which he says that churning indignation is calmed by the singing of psalms, by hypomone, that is to say, by patient endurance. And we'll look at that virtue in particular next time when we look at Achidia, and by mercy, eleos, which we've already seen as a particular virtue on which one is to labor. So Evagrius is filled with the conviction that there is the gift for those who labor at the use of the transformed energy of the thumakon. There is the gift for them of the liturgical life of the church, the practice of psalmody. And this is very important. It counteracts a misunderstanding, a sense that somehow you ever graduate from the use of psalmody. On the contrary, this is something that remains for the whole of one's life. It's not something for beginners. It is to be that which accompanies one throughout the whole of life. And so we have these beautiful examples, especially of monastic saints, who even on their deathbed invite their confreres or consorers to sing to them the psalms, to be reminded again of this great gift of the liturgical life of the church, which is one of the means, which is one of the powerful energies for transformation of this struggle that remains with us throughout the whole of life. And I emphasize this because I think one of the sad things that can happen is that people who have been at religious life, who have been at the project of struggling for virtue for many years or many decades, become discouraged because they think, I'm not making any progress. I'm still afflicted with anger. I still find the other to be irritating, or even more irritating than I did years ago. That's perfectly natural. It's the deepening in the necessity for inviting God into this place where we do labor at the powerful transformation of this energy so that we can find ways of using it effectively. Again, I've given another example of how important psalmody is in this quest in the next text, which is taken from the Institutio ad Monachos, a text we haven't looked at before, in which here again he mentions that the violent inrush of indignation is calmed by patience and by psalmody. And we've already looked at Antiretikos 4:22, which is the next text, in which we are reminded that David playing the harp is a powerful reminder of the capacity of the soul to be healed or touched at moments of, and Evagrius is concerned with its use in a slightly different way, and the notion of dejection or of gloominess. But here, we can also remind ourselves of the fact that powerful anger or the misuse of indignation is also healed or touched by this part of the self. And if we drop down past my explanatory paragraphs towards the last Greek and English section, which is taken from the Perilogismon, the text on various tempting thoughts, chapter 10. He mentions here the use, and this we might find difficult, but he mentions that even the word hatred. Misos can be used in a positive sense. Our hatred against the demons contributes to our salvation in the practice of virtue. And here he's particularly thinking about the possibility of antiresis, directing an angry verse against the demonic. And he'll say that sometimes in a spirit of when we are being overwhelmingly tempted to the misuse of whatever energy it may be, we have the right to respond in anger, not to a brother or sister who is causing us to be alarmed or to be dejected or to become angry, but against the demonic, which is keeping us from seeing or depriving us of the ability to properly use this energy. We have the right to direct the angry response appropriately against the real demonic origin of this temptation. And that's one of Evagrius's fundamental conviction. And I leave you to spend time with this text as you wish in terms of making use of it.